Squiz Kids!
It's your daily news fix. Fun, free, fresh.
Hi, Squiz Kids, it's Christy here. We're super excited because we're back tomorrow with the Daily News Podcast. But today, Bryce and I will both be on the couch, popcorn in hand, watching the new extended episode of Bluey. Parents, we know it's not just the kids who love Bluey. And over on the News Club podcast, Kate and Claire from The Big Squiz delve into one big news topic each week and curate a few things to read, watch, or listen to, so you can get a few different takes on the story at hand. This week, it was the Aussie-made and global sensation TV show Bluey. They dive into just how big the show is and why it's had such a big impact, plus the speculation surrounding the future of the show and who is actually making money from it. Want to know more about Bluey? Just keep listening now and Bryce will be back in your ears tomorrow. Enjoy the episode, and if you like what they do, subscribe to the News Club podcast and get it in your feed.
This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed.
Claire, I'm the parent of a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old and will freely admit that you can barely turn a corner in my house without something Bluey branded.
I have no kids. I don't have Bluey stuff hanging around the house, but I was very moved by the Bluey episode on cricket and other episodes, but that one on cricket really got me.
Really, really gets you, doesn't it, that one? What we're trying to say is Bluey isn't just a show for kids.
Its fan base is far and wide. It's an absolute phenomenon. And by the way, it's estimated to be worth billions of dollars.
Billions of dollars. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
It's been stuck in my head.
Never sing on a podcast. I'm Kate Watson.
And I'm Claire Kimball.
And this is News Club, the place to go for conversations about the news. Claire, we start every episode of News Club with the context. So here we go. Bluey is a kid's show about a 7-year-old blue heeler, her younger sister Bingo, and her parents Bandit and Chili. They live in Queensland in Brisbane, where it was created and is still produced by Ludo Studios. Since the first season in 2018, it has become, as you said, a phenomenon that's taken the kids' entertainment world by storm.
Yeah, so last year it was one of the most streamed television shows in the world. And the reason for it being our News Club topic for this week is that there's a new episode that was out on the weekend. And get this coming Sunday, its first ever 28-minute episode is out.
It's a Bluey movie. If you look at the broadcast rights, the merchandising, the partnership deals, the machine around Bluey, it's worth a huge amount of money, as we said. And also, it's a big news story. It's a big news topic. So in this episode, we'll get into the guy behind it all, the commentary about why it's just so popular. We'll also talk about who's profiting from its success and an adjacent conversation going on about why the ABC, who originally commissioned Bluey, doesn't make a cent. Claire, as we do every episode of News Club, we will outline our club picks in some sort of order that we've decided is the order that they should go in and talk to the themes within them. So club pick one is a real scene setter. It's an interview in the UK publication The Independent with creator of Bluey, Joe Brum, not Blum, as I've been calling him,
Brum.
It's from a couple of years ago. It's a little bit old, 2022. That was 4 years after Bluey launched onto our screens. Joe Brum, Claire, grew up in Brisbane. He has a wife called Susie, who's also involved. He has two daughters. He had a dog called Bluey growing up. It all sounds pretty familiar.
It does. And look, it's a good cue to give a nod, I guess, to those who are listening who might not have even watched a Bluey episode. I'm probably a really good benchmark for that. I don't have kids, so it's not permeating every pore of my body like sometimes these kids' TV shows do
every
if you've
pore.
Got kids in
I like
the zone.
That. Every
you
pore.
Know, like it's in every waking moment, this theme music, all of
oh,
that stuff.
Oh, I have
stuff.
Bluey toothpaste. Like you don't need to tell me. Oh, I know. I'm right there. Yeah.
Bluey is based on basically Brum's life.
Yeah.
He had this childhood and these animals and this experience, and that's where it all comes from.
And it's animated, of course. I feel like Yes. I feel like people would know that much about it, but it's animated, 7 minutes long every episode. As we said, it's been going for 3 seasons deep now. In this piece in The Independent, Brum talks about his aspiration for making Bluey something that could entertain kids and adults at the same time.
Yeah, and that comes from his personal preferences. He loved The Simpsons growing up. He really liked the way that that humor appealed across the ages. There was something for kids and something for adults in those episodes. He spent a 10-year stint working in the UK in this field. He thought that Peppa Pig, which is about encouraging play with kids, he thought Peppa Pig was top-notch, and then permeated this sort of idea of wanting an Aussie version of those kind of two epic shows.
Yeah, he's an animator, so he trained in animation. He worked in children's programming. He set about creating Bluey, and one of the things he talks about is that he was dead set. I should have said dead set. I didn't even mean to do it, but he was dead set on making it as Aussie as possible.
Yeah, it's a very, very nice way of saying that. Yeah, of course there's been a lot, and not just recently, but for decades, about the Americanization of what's on our TV screens. For Brum's part, he describes Bluey and its success of it, especially in the United States, as an antidote to that sort of line of thought.
Yeah.
This idea that Aussiness can actually translate to global audiences.
Something a lot of people in Australia are trying to achieve. It's a no mean feat. He talks a lot about this idea of play, which you touched on. Anyone who's watched Bluey will know a lot of the episodes are based around games that Bluey and Bingo invent and how parents contribute to those games, the roles they play.
Yeah.
Sort of the wacky world of kids' games, and really how funny it all is when you take a step back and look at it. One quote that stuck out to me in this piece was that he said, "I'm never trying to teach anything, especially not to the adults and definitely not to the kids."
I really dig Joe Brum. Yeah, he's kind of like The Squiz, but for kids' entertainment. We're not trying to like preach anything.
No,
or
yeah.
Like we are what we are and trying to help people. And it's kind of the same sort of viewpoint. And particularly for kids' entertainment, we're in this sort of world where what we consume is often trying to teach parents or teach moments about the world. What he says is it's not about them getting browbeaten by my views on the world. It's just sharing my experience. And I think that's probably the thing that, as a parent, you do sometimes feel like you're the only one going through this.
And that really does sum it up. That's his quote. And it does sum it up as a parent experiencing Bluey through the eyes of kids and through the eyes of an adult. There's a lot more in that piece about his thought process, and we won't go into that in a lot more depth now because there's so much more to talk about when it comes to Bluey. But just a note that all of our club picks are on our Instagram page or in your episode notes, and of course in the News Club newsletter if you're signed up to that. If you're not, you should do
so.
A link to do that is in your episode notes or on our website. Club pick number 2 is a recent, really long read from Bloomberg about the success of Bluey. It's called "How Bluey Became a $2 Billion Smash Hit with an Uncertain Future." We'll get to the uncertain future bit a bit later.
Yeah, and a tip, this article is behind a paywall. You can log in though and just get one article for free.
You can.
It's really well worthwhile doing if you think that that might be of interest to you, because it's got that really great US perspective on all of this. And you can listen to the podcast version of it. It's a bit dry, but suffice to say there's some options to
get into that. There's some options to read this one, yeah. We're about to unpack it though, so don't worry if you don't get to it. I think the big question this piece tries to answer is just why the content lands so well and how a show has become like a whole world of things rather than just a television show.
And there's some stats to back that up.
True.
In this piece. As we talked about at the top, in the US, Bluey wasn't just the most watched kids show last year, according to Nielsen, which take the numbers on these sorts of things. It was the second most streamed show in all of the shows going around in 2023. You might wonder, does that mean kids are watching a lot of television?
Yeah, does that just say kids are watching too much TV, or is there something in this Bluey thing?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe, but this article addresses that, saying that it's not just about being watched, it's about the connection that the fans have, and that connection is pulled through to other forums. Facebook groups, for example, there's one called Bandits. It's the Bluey's group for dads. There's about 85,000 members of that. another group of adult Bluey fans, more than 450,000 members. That's not kids.
That's not kids that are in those groups. When you look at all the bits around Bluey outside of the show, as I touched on, the toothpaste, but clothes, nappies, biscuits, juices, puzzles, toys. That's just a list of things that I have in my house. There's also a live show, Bluey's Big Play. The estimated value of Bluey is about $2 billion, as that headline says.
Yeah, it's a lot. And what this author surmises is that the magic of this show, and this is the quote, is like the children of Bluey, the adults are fully realized characters. They're grappling with the challenges that come with parenting, being married, tackling topics as serious as infertility.
Yeah, the experience of watching Bluey as a parent is this ability for my kids to take one thing from it and for me to take a completely different thing from it. There's adult undertones in all of it, but it goes right over the kids' head and connects to me. Bit deep.
It's very deep, isn't it?
Back to the business of it. And I promise I won't gush about Bluey anymore. It's still written by Joe Brum. Mm. It's produced by the original production house who backed his 1 minute original Bluey clip, Ludo Studios. It took a bit of shopping around before it landed in front of the head of children's education at the ABC, so our Australian ABC we're talking about. They dropped reportedly $13,000-ish on a pilot so they could take it to potential backers.
Yeah, and by all accounts, once a pilot was made, it was clearly appealing. Mm. And what ended up happening was that the BBC, the ABC, including Screen Australia, they paid for the first season. And very quickly, BBC Studio secured the commercial rights.
Brings us very neatly to Club Pick 3. It's an article, also from late 2022, in the Australian Financial Review by Mark DiStefano, titled How the Brits Stole the Rights to Bluey.
Such a coup.
Do I need to say $2
billion
again? $2
billion again, yeah, exactly. I think you have to mention that when we're talking about the opportunity, I guess, that was foregone. And in media circles, there's a lot of discussion about how and why the ABC missed the boat on that. What this article talks about is that when Ludo Studios came to decide who to work with on those commercial rights, the quote is, the ABC did not have the firepower necessary to muscle into commercial negotiations.
And I guess the question is also posed on the flip side, even if they did have a go at it, would it be the runaway success if not for the might of BBC Studios, who did take those commercial rights?
Yeah, and it's a bit of a tale, I guess, about where the BBC is at as their national broadcaster compared to the ABC here in Australia. Lots of commentary about the ABC missing out. Some of that sentiment is that there's not really the bandwidth for the ABC to get into that sort of game in a big way because they're under so much scrutiny. They're an institution that are in the news a lot about how they do what they do. Also funding pressure from the federal government.
Let's unpick that a bit. So we know the ABC has had reduced funding in recent years. That's seen the organisation have to lose journalists and scale back, reorganise. The thing to note is that many say that it's busy trying to make things work sort of day to day rather than projecting long term or thinking very strategically about the commercial opportunities for the ABC.
Yeah, and big new ideas and things that could take a bit of a risk, that there's not much of a sort of palette for that at the moment. That's the gist of it. But there's a lot of people too saying that they should be the broadcast organisation capable of doing exactly what happened with Bluey, supporting quality Aussie content and then taking it to the world. But Bluey wasn't hanging around for the ABC
to
grapple with all of that. When you look at the sort of scale of the deals at the BBC and Disney, Disney was granted the global distribution license by the BBC. What they've been able to wrangle is just immense. Bluey is now in 60 countries. It's translated into 20 languages with more than 100 merchandise deals that hang off it.
Plenty of money still here in Australia for Bluey though. Moose Toys, which this article talks about in Melbourne, they bought the exclusive rights to the Bluey toys in 2020. They're like bajillionaires now.
Bajillionaires is the technical term.
I don't think they are bajillionaires, but you know what I mean.
No, they are.
I mean, they're rich listers. Yeah. They have done so, so well. And I guess just to the magic of it again, in reading all of these commercial bits and pieces, everyone that's written something about it tries to understand, like, why? Mm. Why is this so big? And the thread through all of this is the care taken by those who have custody of Bluey and the Bluey machine to keep the show itself true to what the creators originally wanted. Mm.
Yeah, and outside of the dollar signs and all of that care that's taken, you've got these celebrities, because of the quality of it and the meaning behind it, scrambling to voice characters.
Yeah.
Eva Mendes, Natalie Portman, Rose Byrne, Hamish Blake, Ray Warren.
That's a great episode. If you haven't seen The Decider, I can highly recommend it.
Look, the list just goes on and on. But the voice of Bandit and the voice of Chili, they're both Aussies. The voice of Uncle Stripe is Joe Brum's brother. The voice of Nana Healer is his mum.
Yep.
The voice of Bluey and Bingo.
No one knows.
No one really knows.
I had no idea about this because I kind of had seen a bit about Bandit and Chili and the people that voice them, but just gave it a quick Google. Apparently their kid's close to the family. It's interesting in and of itself because it's about protecting their identity.
And you told me you read an article on a parenting website about that.
Well, it's the actually, I think I have the quote. So the quote is, "This casting call also serves as further proof of how Bluey is working to protect their young talent." And this is the bit I wanted to pull out. "It's evident that Bluey has a lot to teach the world, both through the show and how they've chosen to go about creating it."
Yeah, it's incredibly well thought through, isn't it?
Yeah.
Club pick four.
The Weekend Australian, 22nd of March, so just a couple of weekends ago. It's a summation of everything we just spoke about. So if there's one thing you read, this might be it. It's a chat with Melanie Zanetti, who is the voice of Chili, as I said. Also Beth Harvey, the show's animation director from Ludo Studio. So they're the guys that have made all of this happen, really. The reason we included this one, Claire, is because it talks a bit about the episode that came out on the weekend, Ghost Basket, and the 28-minute long episode that's out on Sunday, that Bluey movie.
And look, according to them, all but the blackest of hearts will cry.
That is a lofty aim, but that is what Geordie Gray and Andrew McMillan, who are the authors of this article, said. They've seen The Sign, which is the name of the movie that's coming out. Joe Brum has actually commented on this episode too, who I feel like I know personally.
I know.
At this point, I've read so much about him. He said, "I think it's a magical episode." He says, "If I sound like a wanker, so be it. It just sums up everything Bluey has tried to do in the last few years."
Yeah, well, there's a word that you probably won't find in Bluey, but quintessentially Australian, I'd reckon.
I would hope not. But I mean, if that doesn't compel you to check it out, I don't know what will. You can watch it in Australia on ABC iView at 8 a.m. on Sunday morning. Or if you're new to Bluey and we've convinced you to check out what all the hype is about, there are 151 other episodes to sample, Claire.
Yeah, and I reckon there'll be plenty of people who are very jealous if you haven't seen any Bluey that you can embark on that journey.
That's true. Claire, this part of the podcast is where we talk about what our audience thinks about the topic. An easy one to engage with this week, I would have thought.
Bluey, yay or nay, was the question.
It's a very simple question. Overwhelmingly, yes.
So many yeses, a lot of love from Bluey from the Squiz audience.
Yeah.
More than 500 from when we had a look at it when we're recording this podcast. Only three said they're not into it.
And one of our responders had views on those people, saying, "Good to know that less than 1% of Squizzers are the kind of psychopaths that would answer, 'Nope, not a fan,' to this question. Seriously, have a heart." I think each to their own. If you don't like it, you don't like it.
Yeah, no, well, exactly right. You can have a different view.
But there's only three of you.
On this one, there's only three of you. And going through the responses that we had, there seem to be three sort of general buckets that they fall into for that Bluey love. The first was the positive messages and the parenting role model part of the show.
Yeah, so one of the quotes, "I use TV sparingly in those moments when I need to do stuff without children interrupting, but I end up not getting much done as I'm drawn into the episode, though I will say my parenting has improved as a result of those wondrous healers."
Yeah, and isn't that a nice thing to just get distracted yourself and find that it's a really good reference point? This is another one. "The healer family reflect the experience of parenting, being parented in a refreshing, humorous and heartfelt way that has provided comfort for how hard and wonderful parenting can be all at once. in every episode.
And versions of that were repeated in the responses that we got from people. The other theme, one of the other themes, there's two more, but Aussie pride.
Oh, yeah, big time. I like this one. I'm 50 years old. I've got no little people in my home. I occasionally watch it on my own when I want to pick me up. So proud of the team for producing this incredible show.
I've heard it. It's a bit of a hangover cure, actually.
Oh, yeah, I can see
some people do that. Yeah, and another one, it's quintessentially Australian, laid-back, cheeky, irreverent, but always with a message worth communicating. And then there was the cultural impact.
Oh, yeah. So there were definitely squizzes, understanding exactly what it's done just here and abroad. Mm. One commented, using the term dollar bucks when referring to an amount of money is common in my house, as is the phrase, made you look dirty chook.
And I don't know what Bluey episode that's from, but it must be in there somewhere. Kids in the US, there's been lots of talk about them adopting some of the language from Bluey. They say things like brekkie, the dunny, I'm going to take the bins out, mum.
Taking the bins out.
Which is quite funny.
Footpath, all of that.
For real life.
For real life.
Is absolute Blueyism, which is a classic and will continue to be a classic because of Bluey. Your final thoughts, Claire?
I think it's that that we've touched on a couple of times. I'm heading towards 50. I don't have any kids and I just love it. I think tuning into these big cultural touch points is really important, even if it's not in your line of sight, because so many people around us are really moved by these things. If these things become big, chances are there's something to it.
It's good to tune
into it just to understand. And I absolutely did that with Bluey and definitely better off for it.
That is one of the things you are so great at. Like I remember saying to you, you know, Bluey is a thing, you know, as my kids grew up, and you said, yeah, of course I've watched Bluey. Like everyone's talking about it. So of course I've tuned into
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
And, you know, not thinking it's not for you.
Yeah.
When it's just something that comes up in conversation and you can talk to if you've had a look.
Yeah. You just want to understand a bit better.
Yeah. For me, I mentioned in that headline, it was about the $2 billion, that big Bloomberg read, but also the uncertain future because of the episode Ghost Basket, which was out on the weekend. And I don't want to spoil it, but basically there's a little sort of tease at the end around the future of Bluey. And there's now a lot of question marks about whether Bluey will continue or whether this is it and they're doing a movie. Is it culminating in a movie? Are we at the end? In all of my reading, I would suggest that's impossible because there is just so much more it has to give.
Yeah.
There's so much more it has to give. However, it is very much a news talking point this week, so just a good one to flag.
Well, good to know.
Yeah, it might be the it.
I've got Claire's retail corner getting started. Maybe we need to start Kate's Bluey expose and we'll keep a track on it.
No. But I think if you're having a conversation about Bluey this week, that's all you need to know. That's a thing. Thank you for listening to this episode of News Club. Another week down, Claire. What are we thinking for next week?
Oh, gee, there's quite a bit. India's election is later this week.
Okay.
I think that'll be a really interesting
pivot. That's a pivot,
watch.
I would
say. Back into politics maybe. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on internationally, of course. We haven't really looked at Ukraine or what's happening in Gaza for a bit either.
Due for a global something global.
There's a lot going on.
Mm. Okay. All right. Well, if you have any thoughts,
TBC.
Please let us know. Hello at thesqueeze.com.au. And if you like this episode, please share it with your mates. It's the number one way that we grow is by you telling people about us. So tell them about News Club and we'll be back on Saturday with the weekly wrap.